with me tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39, we're going to continue on that in the series of messages that we've been bringing, and on the man by the name of Joseph, and one of the greatest characters in the Word of God, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, is a man by the name of Joseph in the Old Testament, which is a type and a picture of our Savior. We brought two messages already with the series, and we've talked about Joseph. The title of the entire series is Joseph's God's Man in God's Place. And I believe, as we've seen thus far, Joseph has been God's man in every place that God has permitted him to go. And through some difficulties and trials that have come his way, he still has been God's man in God's place. We noticed first message, Joseph the son. We noticed his purity. We noticed the privileges that he had, the protection that he had at home. He was the son of his father's old age, and his father loved him and provided for him. Then the second message was Joseph as he was sold into slavery, Joseph the slave, and so many things happened to him. And now tonight, in Genesis chapter 39, verses 13 on down through the rest of the chapter, probably down through verse number 23, we're going to be reading and focusing our attention on Joseph once again, God's man in God's place. But here we find Joseph the slandered, the man that the lie was told upon him and how it affected him. In Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 13, it says, "It came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth." Now you remember the last message we brought us up to this point right here, where that Potiphar's wife had come and had asked him to come and lay with her and commit that sin that he says that was a sin that was against God, not only against himself, not against her, not against Potiphar, but it's a sin that was going to be against God. And he said, "I'll not do that." And so he takes off, and it says here, "When she saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Thank God for verse number 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that he and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now here tonight, we in these verses that we've read, we notice the man Joseph. He has been taken from his father's home, been placed in a pit, and now he's been is in Potiphar's house. And there he has much authority given to him. He's the overseer of everything that Potiphar had. Everything Potiphar had possession of, Joseph had the authority to do with it as he chose. But now we find that he, as he's there, Potiphar's wife comes to him and tries to bring him to a place of sin. He will not do that, and here's where we pick up the story tonight. We've seen Joseph, how that he was blessed as a son, and how that he was blessed even as a slave. And now we're going to see he's even blessed when he's slandered, when the lie is told against him. And we've seen the triumph over temptation in his life and the tragedies that came his way. We've seen his purity, and we've seen that he was more worried with the praise that would come from God than the promotion that would come from man. And we need to be worried about that. We need to be considered of what God thinks about things rather than what men think about things. We need to be considered about what God does and how God deals in our life rather than how men would deal with us. And so we find Joseph in this precarious predicament that he's in, and we find the slander that comes to him. He is defamed, and he's demoted to a dungeon, and he's placed there. Look in verse number 15 of chapter number 40 of Genesis. The Bible says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing, that they should put me into the dungeon." He's placed there because of the slander of this woman. Tonight we're going to look how that he was a victim of this injustice that came his way. Now folks, we might as well understand and realize, as far as long as we're in this world, there's going to be some times and some things that come our way that we are not guilty of. There's going to be some things said about us that are not real and are not true. There's going to be some things done that we wish would not be done. But as a child of God, we need to be like Joseph and be God's person in God's place. We need to be just living for God and serving God. And whatever comes our way, then we're just going to trust the Lord to know that He understands and that He has everything in control. And in the end, all things work together for good to them that love God. That's Bible, and we've got to take that. We've got to understand. We've got to apply that unto our heart. And so we find these verses that we've read tonight of this chapter. And I love verse number 21, verse number 23. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." And then it says, "Because the Lord was with him." And you'll find more and more how that God's hand and God's work was upon the life of Joseph. In verse number 2 of chapter 39, the Bible says, "The Lord was with Joseph." Now I guarantee you one thing tonight. If God is with you, the slanders may come our way and the injustices may come our way. But if God is with us, in the end, in the finish of the product of everything that comes our way, God will get the honor and He will get the glory. Amen. It's not a lot of fun going through it. It's not all fun and games. This life in which we live many times has many discouragements, has many problems, has many trials, has things that we wish would not happen. But we that believe God and trust God, many times God let these things come to our life just to see how much we love Him, just to prove to us and to prove to the world that we are a child of God and that we love the Lord. But I want us to notice about the particulars of this injustice that came to him. We read here tonight, verses 13 through 18, how that Potiphar's wife put her eyes upon him, and we find now she's put her mouth upon him and spoke these evil things against him. We notice there that when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she began immediately to figure out and to connive and say, "Well, I'll take care of that young man. I'll take care of that Jew, that Hebrew. I'll make sure he doesn't ever serve anybody else." But she forgot. She didn't know. She didn't understand that God was on his side. She didn't understand that God had his hand upon that young man. And many times this world, they'll say, "Boy, I'll put them down and I'll destroy them and I'll put my mouth upon that individual," all along, all the time, not knowing that some way, somehow, God has his hand upon that individual for a particular purpose and a particular reason, and God overrules what men might do. And so we find here Potiphar's wife, the first try was to seduce Joseph. We read that last time we had a message on this, and we find that she came and she tried to seduce him. But now, when that did not work, she slanders him, and she does that with much. Works out that she has the privilege of being able to accomplish that which she wanted to do. If you would turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6 and verse number 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate; yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look." Now notice what the second one is. A lying tongue.
Hello.
God says He hates a lying tongue. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. There's never an excuse to tell a lie. There's never an excuse not to tell that which is right and tell the truth. And so God says here, six things He hates. Yea, seven is an abomination. The second thing that God mentions here in this list of things is a lying tongue. Then you go on, read down verse number 19. It says one of those other things is a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now we notice here two times God in these things that he hates and are abomination unto him, two times God says he hates that which tells lies. Amen. Now there's some people that claim to be true that ought to read that and take that to heart. There's some folks that claim to be children of God that ought to read that and believe it and then practice not doing those things that God hates. Amen. We find God says he hates a lying tongue. He hates those that bring about slander to an individual. And so this woman, she couldn't seduce him, so she slanders him. And that, first of all, is one of the things God hates, and he's not going to put up with that. He'll not put up with the world. He'll not put up with it with his own children. He'll not permit us to get by with continually telling falsehoods and lies. Now, the Bible says when a person does that and is a liar, the Bible says that they're not going to heaven. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You say, why, preacher? What's so bad about that? Well, what's so bad about the truth? Let's turn it around. Why not tell the truth? Why not tell that which is right? Why not tell that which is honorable about people? But you know what most people want to hear? They don't want to hear the good things about individuals. They want to hear the wicked things. They don't hear what maybe God's done for them, but they want to hear how they have maybe failed God. They don't want to hear what God has blessed them with, but they want to hear how they have fallen, how that they've got into sin, how they've done. So many times, we want our ears to be the garbage cans of people's mouths that are just waiting to tell something on someone. You see, there are some things that's even true we ought not to tell people. There's some things that just ought not to be spoken of very freely. Right. And so we find that God hates a lie, and he hates a liar. He says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And so a person that's just a continual habitual liar, you can just put it down that they're not going to heaven. Because that's not the attribute of a child of God. One of the attributes of a Christian is that we are trustworthy. And to be trustworthy, you've got to be truthful. And to be truthful, that means you just simply do not tell lies. You tell the truth. You speak what's right out of the best of your knowledge, the best of what you know, and you just try to give forth the facts correctly. You know, there's a game, I forget what it's called. You have a group of people, and you have a line, have a circle or maybe something, and somebody starts a two or three line sentence, and then everybody whispers it in the ear of the one beside them, and you have written down what you tell the first one, and then when it comes all the way around, about 25 or 30 people, when it gets to where it comes to the end of it, you have them tell it the way they got it, and you'd be surprised how it changes. You see, we have a problem of repeating things that we hear, repeating them correctly. We have a problem of saying it right. You see, you can say something and have a different attitude in your voice than an individual, and you can make the whole sentence totally different. You can make the whole statement be different. And so it's just best. It's just the best thing for the child of God to do is when we hear something, just keep it to yourself and let God take care of it, and the Lord will do that, and especially not be guilty of telling lies and spreading gossip and spreading things on individuals, and especially God's people. We ought to be very careful about what we tell and what we believe that we hear from this world. And we notice here in this injustice that came to Joseph, it's a very common thing in the lives of folks. We realize Joseph experienced unpleasantness, but it was not uncommon. It was a very common thing. I find not only did Joseph experience this injustice, but I find John the Baptist experienced injustice when he preached against the sin of Herod, and he had his brother's wife, and John exposed that, and he lost his head for that. That wasn't right, and that wasn't justice, but it happened. But I'd rather be John standing before the Lord and being right with God, saying that which is right, than standing before Herod and being a compromiser. I'd rather stand for God and stand for that which is right and serve him, and to know that we serve a God that in the end he will get the victory in our life. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was neglected in His own place, Nazareth. He was rejected by His relatives. He was condemned by the courts. He was crucified as a criminal. All of those things was done as injustice to Him. But I'm glad, thank God, He was not guilty. He went there freely of His own will and died there a sinner's death that you and I might have life. Today, wherever we go, wherever we are, there's just people that are everywhere that are ready, and they're just waiting to be able to say something and to do something to hurt the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be guilty of fueling their fire. Let us not be guilty of giving them something that they can talk about. The worker that is honest, many times he'll watch the dishonest worker have promotion, and we'll say, that's just not right, and it's not right. But just remember, God, in the end, has the victory. The person, the child, or the individual that maybe is in college or is in school, they'll see that one that cheats on exams, they'll see those A's come across, and they'll say, that's just not fair, and it's not fair. But just remember, you stay right with God, and in the end, God will give you victory in those things. And so we find many times the likes of Potiphar's wife, are vicious in their ways of doing things. And we find the Josephs many times are just dumped, and people just go on and overpass them. But I'm glad, thank God, tonight we have a Savior that don't overlook us. We have a Savior that's always looking to us, and He's always there, and He's there to help us. And when times of trouble come, as they did in Joseph's life, Joseph, if we thinking, humanly speaking, Joseph had every right in the world just to say, I quit on God, forget about it. Everything I've tried, everywhere I've been, there's been injustice and slander given to me. And Joseph didn't do that because God was with him. And God had blessed him. God had used him. We see here this woman, how corrupt she is. I had never really noticed this till I was studying for this message. But you know, she was just she wasn't just corrupt toward Joseph, but she was corrupt toward her own husband. Amen. Do you notice here what these words said in verse number 14? And she called unto the men of her house. She called all the servants, all the slaves, all the men of her house. Now notice here this woman said. She called the men unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he... Now that word he there speaks of her husband. He hath brought, notice that, in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Now notice what she's saying. She is in a roundabout way. Now you have to be careful what people say. I tell you what, you better be careful how much you listen, how much you believe of what the world has to say about God's people. They never tell the truth. They don't know the truth. They don't understand. You've heard it said they wouldn't know the truth if it met them face to face. And there's many people that way. But how now we find Potiphar's wife, she calls the men of the house to her. And she says, now I want you men to know that he, speaking of Potiphar, speaking of her own husband, he has brought a Hebrew in here to us just simply to mock us. He is the reason. He's the fault. Sounds a whole lot like what they said in the garden. Or what Adam said to the Lord, said, Lord, the woman which thou gavest me. And really, he was putting the blame on God rather than himself of falling into sin. He said, Lord, that woman that you gave me, she caused me to do that. And she says, now, fellas, the problem we're having here is not your fault, it's not my fault, but it's my husband's fault. And she's putting the blame on Joseph and also onto her own husband. And in accusing Joseph, in accusing, she portrays him as nothing more than a lustful individual, that all he was desirous of was her. And Joseph had no idea whatsoever about that. If he had, he'd have fallen into sin. Amen. He was away from that. And we were talking this afternoon. Brother Steve asked me, said, do you think that maybe... Joseph was in the wrong place and shouldn't have been there. I don't think he had any choice about it. He was in that household as a servant, as a slave. And when she beckoned, he came and had to do that. And so Joseph is there, unbeknowing to his own self and to his life. She is setting him up. If he didn't come, he'd get in trouble. If he does come, he gets in trouble. And many times it seems as though whichever way we turn, we get in trouble. Whichever way we go, it seems as though there's no way out and no way of escaping that. And she didn't care about her husband. She blamed him. She accused him. She undermined him to the servants and didn't have any respect. But you'll notice here that she accused Joseph, and showing that he was the one that was lustful toward her. But I tell you what, it was her look, not Joseph's look. It was her lust, not Joseph's lust. It was her lie, not Joseph's lie, that got the man of God into trouble. And when many times we get in trouble, it'll be the world's look, it'll be the world's lust, and it'll be the world's lie against us that'll put us in injustice, and it'll just be there, and there's nothing we can do except trust God. I mean, it's there. You can't do anything. You can't fight it. You can't go against it. You just have to stand and be right with God. We've got to be careful about the accusations that are made by the ungodly. Injustice is always cruel. I mean, the cruelty of the injustice here is given to Joseph, lost more than anybody else. Joseph lost his reputation. See, Joseph had a reputation for being pure, and she put a question on that. Joseph lost his reputation of having character, and she put a question on that. I'll tell you what, when you lose your reputation, you've lost it all. When you lose your testimony, you lose it all. And that's so very important that the world... And so you find and say, well, Joseph was treated so wickedly, and Joseph was treated so unjust. Yes, he was. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph.
Amen.
The Lord was with him, notwithstanding those other things that came to him. The Lord was with him, and he had lost his reputation. Those men that had worked beside Joseph, Potiphar that had put him ahead and over all of Potiphar's house, Joseph said, I've got everything that I want. I've got at my disposal there everything except Potiphar's wife. Those men looked at Joseph and said, yeah, I knew he's just like us. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard somebody say, yeah, I knew there wasn't any difference in that fella?
Yeah.
I knew he'd fall. I knew he wouldn't last. I've heard Christians say that about other Christians. God help us.
Amen.
I knew it wouldn't last. Oh, a fella gets saved, has a lot of zeal, and he wants to serve God, wants to love God, and if we don't say it, we think it, we wonder how long that'll last.
Mm-hmm.
We wonder how long he'll stay the way he is. For most part, people just get saved. They got a backslide getting fellowship with the church. I mean, they roam far for God and sort of serve God, and everybody sitting around them is dead and don't know it and don't care, and they feel like they're out of place, and they just have to conform and go down just to get in fellowship.
Amen.
Now, Joseph here, his reputation's gone. The servants around him, they no longer believe he's anything. Why, he tried to seduce our Potiphar's wife. She wasn't nothing but another Jezebel, just a different name.
Yep.
He loses his reputation for his purity and his honesty. They said, he's just like us. He's no different than we are. You try to live for God and serve God on the job, and the first time you falter and fail, somebody says, oh, I knew it wouldn't work. I knew it wouldn't last. But thank God, the Lord of heaven is with us.
Amen.
The Lord of glory is our helper. He's the one there. So he lost his reputation unjustly. Not only that, he lost his job. There's been many men lose their job for standing up for that which is right. There's been many folks down through the ages that have literally, rather than to compromise what they believe, they've lost their job and said, I'll just go somewhere else. God bless that. God honor that. As long as you're for God, as long as you're standing for that which is right, God will take care of the bills. He'll take care of the food on the table. And Joseph lost his job here, but he still would not do what she wanted him to do. Joseph's purity was more important to him than his position. Even though everybody around him thought he'd lost his purity, even though everybody thought he was just like them, he said, I'd rather go to prison than to bow and to bend that which is wrong. Not only did he lose his reputation, his job, he lost his comforts. He's put in prison. Look, if you would, with me to Psalm number 105, verse 17. Psalms 105, verse 17. This is about Joseph. He, speaking of God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. He didn't go down here to the midway place where there's TV and pools to go to, he went to prison. He says himself that he was placed unjustly in that dungeon. Psalms 105, where we just read, said he was hurt. His feet was hurt with the fetters that was placed upon him, those fetters of iron. It wasn't a Sunday school picnic. He lost the comforts that he had. Oh, yes, he was a slave, but now he's moved from slavery, and he goes into prison, and he loses the comforts of that. And then he lost his coat. That's the second time that's happened. First time he lost his coat was when his brothers took it from him, put the blood of the animals on it, and told his father that an animal had killed him. That was the first time. Now he's lost his coat. The second time, every time he lost his coat here, it was used to mislead others. But before long in the story, in a few weeks we'll find that God has another coat for him. Before long you find God has a place of liberty for him. Before long he don't have to worry about those things. Before long God vindicates him and God puts him back in the rightful place. Amen. That he desires and deserves to be. Joseph has a new coat. He gets a new job. He has increased comforts. He has a reputation that takes care, and everybody knows that it was in line with his character, what he was. Hadn't been too long ago I told you what character was. Character is what you are. Just what you're made out of. Reputation is what people think about you. But character is what you are. Reputation is what people will talk about. But character is what you know is real in your heart. Character is that which cannot change and will not change. And a person that has the right character and has the right relationship to God, I'll just be assured that, yes, there's going to be injustices come. Yes, there's going to be troubles come. But oh, thank God, in the end, victory comes to the child of God. Amen. There's been many tears shed down through the pathway of life just to see the joys of flowing in their soul because of God's victory. There's been many trials that have come to a lot of folks down through history, but in the end they had the victory of the Lord. There's been a lot of discouragements that come to the child of God down through their pathway, down through the walk of life, just to find as they enter in what we would consider older adulthood, they have the great peace and satisfaction of knowing that they'd served God all those years. And the victory and the joy comes. Now we find there's much pressure. I tell you what, when injustice comes to you, you be assured the pressure is on for you to compromise. Amen. The pressure is there for you no longer to stand up for that which is right. The pressure is there for you to just be conformable and just do what you're supposed to do. Just make a bargain or make a deal or do something that would belittle the Lord of heaven. And I'm sure that was in Joseph's mind many times, but he stayed true to the Lord. You see, it's not long now till Potiphar comes home. We read there that she took his coat, she laid it beside him. She just took that coat that he left. I can just picture it in my mind almost, the cloak or the coat that Joseph had. She grabs a hold of him, trying to get him to commit that wickedness in the sight of God, and he just lets his arm slip out of that, and he takes off. And she's left there. Where's my coat at? She's left there just holding the sleeve of the coat. In humility, and to say, "Hi, who is he to think that he's not going to do what I want him to do? Who is he? I'll take that coat and I'll lay it over here real nice. I'll lay it down here and I'll be sitting down beside it. And when old hubby comes home, I'll fix that Hebrew. I'll take care of that Jew." Notice here, that's what she did. It says in verse number 13, he left the coat in her hand. He's fled forth. And then it says that she took that coat and lay it down beside her. It was there waiting. Potiphar comes home. She lay the garment. In verse number 16, she lay up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spoke unto him. Potiphar maybe looked over there on the, I don't know if they had a couch or not, but whatever they had. Potiphar looked over there and said, "What's that coat doing there? Joseph forget his coat? That's Joseph's coat. Do you want me to take it to him? Think I ought to take it to him? He might need that." And all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife begins that terrible slanderous speech that she makes. And she begins to talk. And she spake unto him according to these words: "The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. What a slanderous lie she told on Joseph. I mean, there's no truth at all about that, other than he left his coat. She didn't tell the truth. She just told a lie, a barefaced lie. Now you'll notice here, the conclusion of Potiphar was that he believes her. Of course, that would be normal. That'd be natural. And he believes her. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner. And then it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. He believes her. His wrath is boiling and raging, and he takes Joseph, that one, that literally, I believe he loved Joseph, and God had blessed him, and God had blessed everything that he'd done in his own household, but he takes him, believing his adulterous wife, and by the way, she was adulterous because it's already in her heart. Now, adulterous wife, he believes her, and he casts Joseph into prison. All uncalled for, all a lie. What's Joseph going to do? The pressure's on. The heat's on him. What's Joseph going to do? Is he going to stand up and curse God? Is he going to stand up and say, I don't deserve this? Is he going to stand and do those things? No. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It just says that they put him into prison. I believe if you ever had a model prisoner, Joseph probably was one. I mean, he did those things that he was supposed to do. The conduct here we find would be upright. He just did because he found favor even in the sight of those in prison. Joseph is placed there because Potiphar listened to his wife, and he listened to the wrong one. And sometimes we make decisions because we listen to the wrong crowd. Sometimes we make decisions that are wrong because we listen to someone that is not wanting to tell you the truth, not wanting to give you the detail. They just want to spread slander. They just want to spread lies. Best thing we can do that, just leave it alone, go away from it. You know, sometimes we get on people pretty hard and heavy, and I think rightfully so, about gossip and long tongue. And by the way, it's not just always women either. And I know some preachers about as bad as anybody I've ever heard. And they get together at preachers' meetings and fellowships, and all they do. That is a gossiper. But there's only one way to stop gossip. There's only one way. They just say, I won't hear it. I won't hear it. You know what will stop it? If somebody comes to you and they're talking about another person, they've got something to say to you about them, you ought to say, well, I tell you what, let's do. Let me call so-and-so on the phone, and we'll just get all here together. We'll find out the truth of it. Well, that's stop it. Yeah. How you know, preacher? I've done it before. Well, we'll just call so-and-so that you have something you want to say. Let's just say it in their presence. I tell you what, there's a lot of people brave when they can hide behind something. Yeah. There's a lot of people brave when they can hide behind a telephone, or they can hide and say something where they know nobody ever know what they've said except the one they're spreading the maliciousness to. They're brave when that is there. But you bring out that other person's name and say, let's just go see them and find out the truth of the matter. Amen. That'd take care of that junk. Yeah. They'll say, for most part, they say, no, I don't want my name in it. Yep. Well, get your mouth out of it if you don't want your name in it.
Yeah.
Just do away with it. But he believed his wife. Brother Tom, turn tape off just for a minute. There's always that crowd that just can't hardly wait to bring even truth to you to hurt somebody's reputation. And that's as wicked as hell itself. Because there's not one of us that's without fault. There's not one of us that could cast the first stone and do it right. I've had ill feelings and tempers flare, and you have too. And we're none of us any different. What do? Kill someone, destroy the ministry and destroy that man's life? 1,000 times no. You take them and work and help and love and show that Jesus loves.
Amen.
Be a child of God. If we just learned to quit letting people make our mind up for us.
Amen.
I wouldn't have said anything unless 2 or 3 people had already said they'd heard this and heard that. And be honest with you, they're praying about joining this church, and I'd be glad to have them.
Amen.
I've told them that, and I believe this church would be glad to have them. I don't believe they'd be a detriment to us. I believe they'd be good and helpful, and we pray for them and help them. They're just seeking the Lord's will. If they don't join here, they're going to join some independent Baptist church.
Amen.
He said, I'm done with that crowd.
Amen.
And they told that he's trying to lead their church out of the convention. He said, I didn't have any intention of doing that. So they told that he was using independent literature. He said, they told the truth in that. He said, I ain't going to use that junk we get. But folks, there's always somebody willing and waiting just to launch out on somebody and try to destroy them. God help us not to be guilty of that. And Potiphar's wife, she's just waiting to destroy Joseph. And I'm sure, boy, when old Potiphar put him in prison, she said, I've got him now. Before long, Joseph's going to be over her. Before long, Joseph's going to take care of her kind and that crowd. Before long, Joseph's going to be elevated more than she would ever think about being. And even over Potiphar. You see, God has his hand on someone. You can't change it. You can't destroy it. God will work his will out and his way out. It's amazing to see how God's hand works.
Amen.
It's amazing to see the intricate ways that God moves and God deals, and just seemingly that the world would say would be coincidence when we know it's just God.
Amen.
Doing what he wants to get accomplished in our life. So we find that he's put in prison. He suffered greatly because of the unjust words of this woman. But he had something that they didn't have. He had, first of all, the comfort of God.
Yep.
Boy, nothing can take the place of it. It's worth the gold and the thousands of hills of this world is to have the comfort of God in your life. But the Lord was with Joseph. All the trouble came. All the discouragement came. He's placed into prison, and he's there in the king's prison, and all those around him are the high-ups that had been maybe caught in thievery, or those that worked in the king's palace, and he's placed in there with them as a common criminal. But the Lord was with him. I think of Paul one night in the hull of a ship and a storm raging, but there stood by him that night the angel of God. The Lord was with him. I think of times maybe that we get down, and I mean we're low down and in deep despair and distress, and all of a sudden the still small voice of God comes along and we know God's with us.
Yep.
The pressure may be on, the tragedies may be there, but we have the satisfaction that God's there on our side.
Amen.
And he's going to help us. God's way allows us many, many times, allows us to be treated unjustly. But one day he'll get the victory.
Yes.
He lost his comforts. Or he had the comfort of God. He lost the comforts of the home. He had companions there in prison. We're not going to say much about the butler and the baker. That'll come up later. He had companions there. And he showed those men that he believed God.
Amen.
He showed them that he trusted God even in the midst of storms and trials. He was committed to his duties. Look at verse 22, verse 23. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. You'll notice one thing about Joseph. Everywhere he went, everywhere he was, every place that he was always in authority. You know why? The Lord was with him. Joseph was the loved of his brothers. He was the most loved of all of them. Why? Because God's hand was on him. They said, we'll do away with that kid. We'll do away with that 17-year-old. We'll just kick him out and we'll send him off into slavery. And he goes and becomes in Potiphar's house, and he has control of everything Potiphar had. She says, I'll destroy him. They put him in prison and he controls the prison. That's just God. And before long, he's going to control the whole nation.
Amen.
Because God was on his side. Because God was with him. And he had the power of God upon him. He was committed to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Joseph, even though he was slandered, he was God's man. And by the way, that prison was God's place. It's hard for us to understand that sometimes. Just like the pit, Potiphar's house, those two places, those were God's places for this young man. God chose them, picked them out. You go to the pit. He went to the pit. You go to Potiphar's house. He went to Potiphar's house. You go to prison. He went to prison. But every one of those places, he was God's man. He did not shun his duty. He always did that which was right. And before long, we're going to find him in the palace. And he's still God's man.
Yes,
in God's place.
Yeah.
Everywhere Joseph went, God's hand was upon him. Read with me again, if you would, verse number 2, chapter 39. And the Lord was with Joseph. Verse number 21. But the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
Verse number 23, chapter 39. Because the Lord was with him. Now the last verse, chapter number 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And I just wrote out there in the flyleaf of my Bible, but the Lord was with him.
Yeah.
You say, that's adding to the Word of God. No, it's not. God's with him. God was with him. That one that had said, I'll remember you when I get back into my place, he forgot him. Joseph said, your head's going to be lifted up and you're going to go back to your position. And he said, when you do, I want you to remember Joseph down here. And that man said, I'll remember you. Do you know what happened? He forgot him. Read the first verse, chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. The butler had forgotten him. But guess what? God hadn't.
Yep. Amen.
2 full years. You say, how long is this injustice going to last? How long is it going to be upon us that we have to do these things and we have to suffer these things? I don't know how long it'll be, but one thing I do know is that God knows us and God remembers us and God fights our battle. And in the end, God will get the victory. We just need to be God's person in God's place, saying, here I am, Lord. I'm at your disposal. Just like old John Jasper said, he said, Lord, here's I am. Ready to go. Folks, we just need to be like John. So here I am. I'm ready, waiting on further orders. Oh, God help us. Even amid trials and testings and tribulations and even injustice, be God's person. Be God's man. Be God's woman. Be God's teenager. Be God's young boy, young girl. Whatever place you find yourself, just be sure and be God's. And if you are, God will bring you forth in the end victorious, and you'll have victory in your life. Let's stand tonight. God's man, God's place. I want to ask you something tonight. First of all, are you God's? That's the first thing. Are you God's? Do you belong to Him? Is He your Savior? Is the Son of God living in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit of God living there and helping you move one way or the other, giving you leadership? Are you God's? And now, are you God's person? Do you let others know? Do you live a life that is consistent to the Word of God? Do you live a life that's consistent to what you say you are as a Christian, a child of God? Are you God's person? And do you know you're in God's place? Those three things. Have a message I preached a long time ago. God's man in God's place, doing God's work, preaching God's word, will get the results done that God desires in his life. I still believe that. God's person, God's place. Joseph, a prime example of that type of individual. Our Father, thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I'm glad tonight that I can look to the Word of God and find characters in the Old Testament that are types of our Savior. Lord, I'm glad that Jesus came. And, Lord, He was treated so unjustly. But yet He was your man in your place in your time. He was your Son. And now He's our Savior. I'm glad we can look in the Word of God and see men that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so difficult sometimes to try to understand how that the nation of Israel, the Jew, can be so blinded to that fact. But dear God, we know that in the end, they shall see Him whom they pierced. Our Father, I pray tonight that every person in this building could give testimony and saying that they are a child of God, that they're yours. If not, I pray, God, you'll touch the heart and they'll come and bow an old-fashioned altar and receive salvation full and free. Then, Lord, for those that are here tonight that are Christians and wanting to serve you, I pray, God, that you'd keep us even amid injustices that may come our way. Things that may come to us, Lord, that are not real and they're false and someone's lied on us. Lord, I know some folks that the world has lied upon them. And God, that they're suffering tonight because of that. Lord, I pray that you'd give comfort there where they might be. Lord, the world is not a friend of the child of God. The world's not a friend to the people of the Lord, the church of God. And they'll do and say everything just to get us to conform and compromise. God, help us to stand straight and tall. God, help us to stand right. God, give us power, give us strength. Give us knowledge just to trust you and to know that your hand is upon us. God, my prayer is tonight that you would be with us as you were with Joseph. God, that you'd be with us individually, collectively as families, and then as a church. May your hand be upon us. And God, may we see that you prosper everything that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Page number 390 tonight. If God spoke in your heart through the message, through the Word of God, we invite you to come and just let the Lord have His will and way in your life as we sing.